Yeah, sticking with Minnesota, there's one number, man. You knew I was going to bring it up, and here it is. $14,743,588. That's the amount of money that the Minnesota Wild have in dead cap from buying out two massive contracts. So it's pretty tough to ice a competitive roster year over year when you have an internal salary cap of less than $70 million.
You're now listening to the Boys in the Booth podcast with your hosts, Harper Cody, Chad Melbourne, and Casey Abrams.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 206 of the Boys in the Booth podcast. Cody, Abrams, and Melbourne with you as always. And fellas, we now have a start date for the Stanley Cup playoffs. I believe it's April the 20th. Do I have that correct?
Yes, sir. You do.
Okay, perfect. So we're getting close. It's the second today as we're recording. We're through a crazy April Fool's Day full of just wild jokes and you know, things to stir up the pot a little bit in the hockey world in particular. So here we are on April the 2nd recording this one. Episode 206, like I mentioned off the top, and we're going to be talking about the biggest surprises, either positive or negative surprises, teams, players, you name it. We're just going to go into some surprises from this season so far quickly in this episode. But first, before we get into all that, how we doing, boys?
Doing all right. I'm looking forward to playoffs despite my team not being in them, because while they can beat the good teams, they just lose to all the bad teams. And boy, is that frustrating. But I'm excited nonetheless. How you doing, Chad?
Yeah, doing well, Case. That sounds all too familiar, being a Maple Leafs fan. I feel like every year Toronto loses the season series to teams like Ottawa, Montreal, Buffalo, just teams that should not beat you in the season series, but they often do. Sorry, Harp, but it's true, given the rosters. But yeah, other than that, doing well. We were talking before we started, like it's the time of year where, you know, there's not really a lot going on. Everyone's just itching for playoffs to start. There's like another week or two, I guess. There's like two more weeks of the season. And everyone is just kind of waiting to get to the dance floor. So not much going on. That's why we're talking about some of the biggest surprises for us this season. But other than that, I feel like I've said this the last few episodes, I'm just diving headfirst into the books. Like, it's a stressful part of the year. Almost done my final semester of school. So if you want to talk about anything to do with human rights due diligence in Canada, let me know and we could talk about it, because that's been the main focus of my brain for the last 2 weeks, writing a massive paper. But if not, and probably not, I'll be fine to just talk about hockey and we can do that. So anyway, Harp, how are you doing?
Yeah, no, all good. Let's just stick to hockey on and off the podcast. Thank you very much. I'm doing good, boys, and it's good to be chatting with the two of you as always. Another episode here, so yeah, let's get into it. Biggest surprises from this 23-24 NHL season that's about to come to an end. The playoffs are on the horizon. We know who's going to be in. We know who's going to be out. For the most part, the turtle race continues in the Eastern Conference for those final two wild card spots. The Philadelphia Flyers continue to slip, of course. Yeah, let's get into some of the biggest surprises from this season from our vantage point. So, Case, why don't we start with you, brother?
Yeah, and you know, I thought about mentioning Philadelphia as a big surprise for this season so far, but they are starting to play like themselves in the last few weeks. We've kind of talked that to death already, and same with the Devils being a bunch of losers. So the clear surprise that came to my mind when I started to think about this episode is the Minnesota Wild and them not being a playoff team. When we did our preseason projections and rankings of the divisions, we had them a clean sweep, third in the Central Division. And I know, Chad, you split yours up into like playoff locks, playoff hopefuls, and lottery teams. You had them as a playoff lock. So did I. I really liked the team. I said that the subtractions that they had in the offseason weren't going to affect goal scoring, and so I wasn't too worried about the subtractions. Well, this team is 20th in goals per games and 20th in goals against, so obviously they've taken hits on both offense and defense. Of course, it's going to hurt. They had some injuries in particular. No Spurgeon is definitely beating them up on the back end. That's for sure. But, you know, in the projections, we said they have to solidify a number one C. I think they've done that in Eriksson Ek. The way he's played has been phenomenal. He's such a good two-way guy, and he's, you know, right up there with 30 goals and almost a point per game. We said that Marco Rossi has to step up and be big for them. Well, I mean, he's played admirably so far this year. He's a 20-goal guy in his rookie campaign. And we mentioned that goaltending was a question mark. It's definitely not what it was last year, but it's league average. So kind of all in all, shocked to see that this team isn't a playoff team. And honestly, they've really turned it around since the beginning of the year. They've been a streaky team that goes on losing streaks early on. They lost like 7 in a row, then they lose 4 in a row a couple times, and just kind of streaky. Well, in the second half of the year, they are 19-9-5. In March, that's 7-3-3, would be 7-2-4 if they didn't pull their goalie in OT again. Yeah, but man, they're playing like they should be right now. They've got a guy at 82 points in 66 games. We had some high hopes due to the top six of this team, the normally strong defensive core and some okay goaltending. We thought these guys were locks, and I'm so surprised to see them sixth in the division and 10th in the conference.
Yeah, that is rough. In case we did kind of the same thing in terms of picking surprises. I picked another team who I thought was really going to make the playoffs and didn't. So I'm glad you touched on Minnesota. Some other teams who are going the other way. I thought about Vancouver. I was surprised that they were that good. Even Winnipeg, surprised that they've done so well this season. So those are a couple other ones. But yeah, sticking with Minnesota, there's one number, man. You knew I was going to bring it up. And here it is. $14,743,588. That's the amount of money that the Minnesota Wild have in dead cap from buying out two massive contracts. So it's pretty tough to ice a competitive roster year over year when you have an internal salary cap of less than $70 million.
Yeah, of course that's going to hurt. And I knew you were going to bring that up because it's just so easy for me to poke fun at that, and all of us do it. It's actually on the back of Chad's business cards. He goes around and hands them out. It just says Minnesota Wild have $14 million in dead cap. And he just dishes those out. Oh, yes. And you know, we started to think like this is going to get in a lot of trouble. And then we thought maybe that's why they're going to trade Kalen Addison. Then he signed for like pennies in San Jose or has a pennies contract there, and they're missing him, I would say, and he's missing them because he's getting absolutely shelled, like a minus 27 or something like that in San Jose, and definitely not the point production that he's used to. But their decor has some holes in it right now. It's not what it used to be. The injuries of Spurgeon hurt, you know, and Dumba's, they're missing him. We said at the beginning of the season that after the trade, we don't think they are missing him, but we were wrong on that one, that's for sure. So yeah, salary cap is definitely hurting, and some of the moves they've made have hurt them as well. It's a tough season for Minnesota. They're back to being tweeners. And it was a decade of tweenerism for them, and now it's we just expected them to be better.
That is the worst place to be, especially year over year. And for Minnesota, though, like I feel like we should point out some of the bright spots too, because, you know, it hasn't all been bad. Like Case, you mentioned that they've been playing well recently. How about Brock Faber? What an incredible season from him.
Unbelievable.
Like you said, Marco Rossi, like trending in the right direction. So things are going well in Minnesota to a certain extent, but I just have to keep coming back to that number, that $14 million number, because buyouts are the laziest way to get rid of cap. And I've been saying that for years. So Minnesota, tough season, but definitely surprising because they still have some weapons on that team.
You know, buyouts may be the laziest way to shake up your team, but look at the Nashville Predators. Like, look at what they did, getting rid of Duchene and Ryan Johansson, changing up that mix, and look at the season that they've had. So, you know, it might be a lazy way to do business, but hey, at the end of the day, Nashville shook up their room. Minnesota did the same thing, and hey, all the power to them.
Yeah, well, you want to know the big difference between Nashville and Minnesota? Nashville this season, what they're doing, they only have $4.5 million in dead cap. The most it will ever be is 8.5. That's well, just that's over it. Half of Minnesota's nearly $15 million, man.
And you continue.
It's lazy. It was lazy when it happened. It's lazy now. It doesn't
clip that Nashville Predators comment for you and play it over and over again in the next 3 years when they're struggling.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And I mean, hindsight's 2020, right? Like, fully expect this team to struggle next season. A lot of guys have in career years, absolutely. But I know we're not talking about Nashville. We're talking about Minnesota, even though those two teams have a lot of similarities and connections between each other in terms of ownership and managing and things like that. But with the Wild, I mean, it took a while for them to get going. Kaprizov did not look like himself. That was a big takeaway from the start of the season. And, you know, the last little while, he's looked like himself. We knew that Matt Boldy would get back to being himself as well. I mean, he is such a big piece of this team. Brock Faber could, you know, he would be the Calder Trophy winner if it weren't for Connor Bedard. I mean, Faber may end up winning it. I doubt it. I think it will be Bedard at the end of the day. But man, like the load that Faber has had to shoulder on the blue line as a first year full time defender in the NHL with their captain and Jared Spurgeon being out for so long, and the points he's been able to put up and the minutes that he plays each night, it's been very impressive. And you know, again, I think, like, along with, of course, the dead cap money at the start of the year, we're asking ourselves, you know, why did they, you know, just kind of bring everyone back? You know, it's extensions for Foligno and Hartman and Marcus Johansson, and, you know, like, this group didn't really change a whole lot. But I would agree with you guys. I thought they'd be a lot better and be more competitive, and they certainly have been down the stretch here. John Hines has done a good job. They haven't gotten the same level of goaltending that they got last season from Philip Gustafson, who was, you know, a Vezina caliber goaltender last season for them. And I'd have to say that Fleury has been the better of the two. But yeah, it's definitely not the kind of season that we had envisioned for the Minnesota Wild, but a lot of good pieces there. They've got some good pieces coming. That Husnadinov, who made his NHL debut recently, Liam Ogren out of Sweden, he's a good player as well. You've got Rossi, who has finally broken out this year. So lots to look forward to in Minnesota, but yeah, they're back to being in that, you know, in that murky middle, and that's where you never want to be. And so it's either, you know, missing the playoffs every year or coming close, or they make it in and they're a lock to be a first round exit. And so that's something that they're going to have to push through eventually.
Yeah, it's not good. Definitely surprising.
Absolutely.
Well, first off, no, that's his name. They have a kid in Russia named Firstov,
who is oh my god,
he's pretty, pretty well this season. On a cliff there,
as 22 if that years worked. Old.
He's got a bright future. He just came over and joined them in the AHL recently. So
there you go.
I look forward to him.
He's the savior.
That was good. That was good. That may be the longest pause we've had right there. That was good. All right. Good one there, Case. Minnesota Wild definitely surprised this season. Chad, let's go to you now. You have another team.
We interrupt this podcast to tell you about one of our favorite partners, Sign Up Expert. If you're a sports bettor, whether brand new, casual, or hardcore, listen very carefully, because this ad is for you.
Guys, line shopping for the best odds matters, and that's why any profitable sports bettor needs to be using multiple sports books to maximize their profits. Thankfully, there has never been a better time to get signed up, and we are here to connect you with the best promotions industry-wide. When you use our link at signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth, you can get access to all of the top sportsbooks in your region, along with a review of each platform and its unique benefits. Most importantly, all of these sportsbooks have valuable signup offers for new users. And when you register through our link, you will automatically receive the top offer at each one, allowing you to start line shopping with an enhanced bankroll. Guys, it's simple. When you use multiple sportsbooks, you ensure that you can always access the best available odds, which is key to successful and profitable sports betting. So, if you want to take advantage of these incredible benefits and support our brand at the same time, please consider signing up for your next sportsbook through our link in the description below, signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth. If you're planning on signing up for a new sportsbook anyways, you might as well use our link and support the boys. So, one more time, that's signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth. This podcast is sponsored by SeatGeek, the absolute best ticket app out there. SeatGeek takes the confusion out of buying tickets, making it quick and easy to get the best deals to tickets at your favorite sporting event. SeatGeek does this awesome thing where they score each ticket out of 10 based on its value, so you know whether you're getting a good or a bad deal. Last time I got tickets to see the Devils play, I first saw red tickets. I waited it out, monitored the price in-app, and once I saw green, I pulled the trigger. SeatGeek makes it that easy. And here's the best part. SeatGeek has completely hooked us up. Boys in the Booth listeners get $20 off their first purchase on SeatGeek with the promo code BOYSINTHEBOOTH in all caps. Click the link in our description to download the app and remember to get your discounted tickets using the code BOYSINTHEBOOTH in all caps. Get great seats for a fraction of the cost with SeatGeek.
Yeah, that's right. So I basically did exactly what Casey did. I picked a team who I thought, and we all kind of thought, would be a lot better than they are. And you guys might know who I'm going to talk about here, but it's the Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, this is a team who, coming into this year, did so much in the offseason, built a team on paper that looked like it just worked. They finally had, you know, depth scoring. They had guys to play defined roles in the bottom six. They had another puck moving defenseman. Their goaltending was shored up. Well, after all of those moves, guys, it has not worked out at all. They ended up selling at the deadline, trading away Jake Guentzel, which is just insane. They sit 11th in the East right now, 21st in the entire NHL. And it's just not been a good season for this team. They're technically only 5 points back right now, but it's so late in the season, like, there's no chance they make it. So it's a complete failure for this team, despite the fact that guys like Crosby and, I mean, might be kind of it, Jari to a lesser extent, are having great seasons. So, you know, it's tough to see Crosby being wasted away here, but it's just so surprising that this team is this bad. What do you guys think?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of regression from the team in general. It's definitely not Sidney Crosby. He's been phenomenal. But yes, Eric Karlsson's not a Norris Trophy winner right now. Malkin's, you know, taking steps back. And you didn't see any depth from this team, even though, like, I think in the preseason we were like, hey, they finally have formed themselves a real bottom six or a real bottom nine that looks like they can score some goals and contribute and help out Crosby. Well, they haven't really got that. Like, we were super excited about guys like Riley Smith and, you know, hopeful on a Rickard Rakell, and they've been okay. They've contributed in ways, but not really the way we want them to contribute. So a lot of struggles for Pittsburgh, and I'm afraid to say too much more on the Pittsburgh Penguins because they play the Devils tonight. And usually if I dump on a team too much, they just beat the Devils next game. So yeah, I got to be careful what I say, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's just when I was looking at a case, like, we talked about depth scoring, and just like after Crosby, they just have nothing. Like Evgeny Malkin is on pace for 62 points. You know, Riley Smith is on pace for just 42 points. Rickard Rakell, 41 points. And everybody after that is just not contributing. You know, you've got Letang and Carlson. Carlson had 101 points last year. This season, he's on pace for 50. Half of that, guys. Like, it's just that type of regression doesn't happen year over year, like to many players. But, you know,
Jonathan Huberto.
For many players, yeah, Huberto was one of them. But that kind of stayed, right? Maybe that was just exposing what Huberto really was, is closer to, you know, a point per game, like, you know, 70-point player as opposed to 125 or whatever he had the 1 year. But it's just crazy, guys. Like, I just didn't see them being this bad. We knew that they were going to have to be better than the season prior to make the playoffs because the whole Eastern Conference really got better and more competitive. So we knew that they were going to have to be better in certain ways, but it just hasn't gone well for Pittsburgh. And I'm just shocked.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I really feel for Sidney Crosby because at 36, he almost has 40 goals on the season. I believe he has 37 on the year currently. He had another couple of goals the other night. And what a year that he's having. I mean, he just continues to drag them into the fight down the stretch here. They're not going to make the playoffs, but, you know, I mean, all the credit in the world goes to Crosby, and outside of him, you know, a guy that I was wondering about when the two of you were rhyming off some names is a guy like Brian Rust and where his production has been at this season for this team. And, you know,
I mean, Russ, though, is one of the only guys, like, he has 48 and 54. Like, that's, you know, like, giving you something at least, as opposed to Rakell and, Smith, and especially Carlson. Like, you bring Carlson in to be the guy, or at least to share those duties, and he just hasn't produced anything. And in terms of goals for, by the way, like, this team is, I believe, in 23rd in the NHL right now in all situations in goals for.
Mm-hmm.
But again, for the second straight year, they are second last in the league in goals for above expected. So they should, according to that stat, have way more goals. But I think we're finding out that players on this team not named Sidney Crosby kind of just have a tough time putting it in the back of the net.
Well, that's it, right? And you know, again, I'll go back to the bottom six, and I feel like such an idiot for liking what they did to address their bottom six, because you're looking at it now, and I mean, it's like, look, old takes exposed, right? Like, it's one of those things where you look back and you're like, oh my God, like, how did we think that this was good? And, you know, like, trying to address your bottom six needs with, you know, an aging Lars Eller, an aging Nola Chari, Matt Nieto is aging as well. And you could have had a guy like Alex Nylander producing in that spot for you. Look what he's doing in Columbus, and you know, you give him up for Emil Bemström, who's a good player, and he may end up putting up some points for Pittsburgh, but, and then Puljujärvi and others, and Jeff Carter is on his way out and all of that. So, and you know what, Chad, like, you know this, I've been, like a lot of people, very critical of Kyle Dubas and the moves that he's made. I think the last thing that this team needed was Erik Karlsson. You already have Chris Letang. Like, as we saw in San Jose, it clearly does not work when Carlson is not the sole number one guy on your blue line. It just doesn't work. Now, I'm not saying you give it up after one season, but, you know, I mean, it's just crazy that we're already seeing rumors about Carlson potentially being moved out of Pittsburgh. And yes, and again, I go back to Dubas, even though I've been very critical of him and what he's done so far, he inherited a mess created by Ron Hextall. Let's acknowledge that. And if I'm ownership with the Penguins and management and everybody, I'm apologizing to Sidney Crosby for this entire mess. And unfortunately, a lot of this was done by Ron Hextall. So it's too bad. you know, the kind of season that Crosby is having, for it to just be wasted away with no playoffs for the Penguins, it's too bad. But again, you know, looking back and looking at this roster and the age of it and everything, you can kind of see what, you know, you can kind of see the writing on the wall here. And, you know, Chad, you mentioned Jarry. He's had a good season overall lately. I mean, it's been a disaster.
He was fantastic at the start of the year, and he's been terrible over the last few weeks. But story of his entire career, right? Like, he's a good goalie who gets cold at times and hot at times. Yeah. So
Nedeljkovic has been a nice story for them in goal. But, yeah, it's just not going to be enough. And, you know, second straight year of no playoffs for the Penguins, you know, that's not going to sit well with Sidney Crosby. So we'll doubt them next year and we'll be wrong.
Yeah. It's gotta be, it's kind of depressing as just a hockey fan in general, even though they're in, you know, my team's division. You have to respect the Pittsburgh Penguins of the last 20 years, 15 years, and it's the end of an era, at least, you know, as far as we can tell. That's 2 years in a row, and they sold this year pretty hard. So you're seeing guys like Malkin slow down. You're seeing a guy like Carlson slow down. For me in particular, seeing Jeff Carter probably going to retire this year is very sad to me. He's like a nostalgic player for me. I know a lot of people think of him as a Philadelphia Flyer, but I was a big fan of the LA Kings, and that's where I remember him from, and some great playoff runs, and just a phenomenal player, Olympic gold medalist with Canada. Just kind of, I just loop him in with some of these nostalgic players growing up. And it's just sad to see, you know, this happens to everyone. It's one of the guarantees in life, but
yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, the Penguins, like, just to wrap it up on this, and again, I, you know, another great candidate for, you know, biggest surprise this season. You know, I think the Penguins just got caught chasing a little bit and trying to keep this window alive when they should have been doing, and we're always going to compare these two teams. You guys know where I'm going with this. They should have been doing what the Washington Capitals have been doing and taking small steps back, you know, acquiring picks, young players, drafting, and you know, and trying to kind of retool this thing on the fly. That's not happening right now in Pittsburgh. I think that's going to change. It'll be interesting to see Dubas finally get a shot to do that, because as Jeff Merrick pointed out a little while ago on his radio show, since Dubas arrived in the NHL as a general manager, the mandate for him has always been, we're going for it. We're going for it. We're going for it. Add. Win playoff series. Win the Stanley Cup. I mean, that was just with Toronto Maple Leafs, of course, the only other team he's been with. But it will be interesting to see how Dubas can shake things up a little bit and kind of retool this thing on the fly, because that's what they're going to have to do.
Okay, well, here's a question to wrap up. I just want a yes or no for both of you guys. Let's not talk about it, because we could do a full episode on this. But yes or no, Kyle Dubas will trade Sidney Crosby?
No.
No.
Okay. I think he might, but that's a topic for another day.
Anything can happen. I mean, if Wayne Gretzky can be traded, you know, I suppose Crosby could be. I don't see it, but it's
a good question. I think the only way he's moving is if he walks into Kyle Dubas's office and says, trade me.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's part of it too, right? Like, I'm not saying like Dubas will trade Sid against his will. I'm saying, I wonder if for the betterment of the franchise, they have a conversation and he gets traded as a result. Sid chases another cup. I don't know. It's just, it's the big question. We could have a full conversation on it, but Harp, let's wrap up this episode. Let's get to your biggest surprise.
Well, you guys took the team angle for biggest surprises. So I went a different route and went with a player. And, you know, this is a positive with the kind of season that he's had. And it's definitely a surprise, but I'm going with Jonathan Drouin. of the Colorado Avalanche and the kind of year that he's had. 48 points in 72 games. It's great to see. You know, when he was picked up by the Avalanche, I think a lot of us thought that, okay, well, you know, Drouin's kind of done. He had a rough go in Montreal, and you know, he's going to be a bottom six forward and be in and out of the lineup, maybe down the American Hockey League a little bit and up here and there. That's what I thought, at least. But he's fit in really well in Colorado. And again, you know, all the credit in the world goes to Nathan MacKinnon, not only for the Hart Trophy caliber season that he's having, as we previously discussed on last week's episode, episode 205, but, you know, he's always been rooting for Drouin and always been, you know, singing his praises and rooting for him and wanting him to do well. So it's just been a perfect fit. I think the weight on Drouin's shoulders, being a Quebec-born guy playing in Montreal, and that pressure, I think, was just absolutely unbearable, and is why we saw the struggles that we saw with Drouin. I mean, this is the first time that he is close to that 50-point mark since 2018-19. He had 53 points in that year with Montreal. So really happy for Drouin. He's obviously had his struggles with his mental health and all of that. So you love a good comeback story. And I mean, that kind of ties into a comeback player of the year candidate there, but anyway, it's just a surprise. I did not think it was going to fit this well for Drouin in Colorado, but you love to see it.
Yeah, if I was going to put my money on one of the two connection signings of the offseason, it would have been Connor Brown and not Jonathan Drouin. But it's funny, I listened to our central ranking to kind of get our takes on Minnesota, but I did hear Colorado, when we pointed this out, we're like, damn, this would be pretty cool to see Jonathan Drouin be good again, especially, you know, playing with his old teammate and getting the best out of him and from MacKinnon. And that's exactly what's happened. And it's great to see him, you know, scoring goals and seemingly enjoying hockey again. That's the real takeaway from it. And I am surprised he's at quite like done phenomenal with 15 goals and 33 assists. I thought that he would be better than what he was with Montreal, but I didn't think it would improve this much.
Yeah, well, just thinking about the time when he was with Montreal, like when they went on that deep run in the 2020 playoffs and made it to the final against Tampa, he only played 10 games of their big run there. Like, there were times that he was out of the lineup voluntarily and involuntarily. So it was on ice and off ice. Things just weren't going well for him. So it's good to see that he's back playing on the top line for a lot of the time with his buddy, Nate MacKinnon, and having a really good season offensively too. Like, just looking at it, you know, like one of the warts of Colorado's team from the beginning of the season was their depth scoring, right? And we weren't sure who exactly was going to fill the void that Nazem Kadri left down the middle. And, you know, now they've got Mittelstadt or whatever, but like, the depth scoring was clearly a problem for this team. And if you look at just, you know, the guys who have points right now on the team, like, it's MacKinnon in first with 127, Rantanen with 100, Makar, Nichushkin, and then in fifth place, just 2 points behind Nichushkin with 48 points is Drouin. So, you know, he really is an important piece of this offensive group, as opposed to just being a guy on the outside looking in, or a guy who has a connection with the star like Connor Brown but isn't producing. Like, he's in the lineup because he's having an incredible year. So Harp, I think that's a great pick. I'm really happy to see it, but also kind of surprised, which is what this episode's all about.
Interesting to see what he does in the playoffs, because, you know, despite being in and out of the lineup with Montreal, he had 7 points in those 10 games, and he's got 21 in 33 games in total in the playoffs. So maybe he turns it on.
Yeah, well, that's why it was so confusing, right? It's like, this guy is playing well, but he's out of the lineup. It was same with Thomas Tatar, was another guy who was having a good year that year but was out of the lineup sometimes. So interesting decisions they made back in 2020. But yeah, man, he's having a great year this year. Couldn't be happier for the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a team like Colorado, who's going forward again, you need those nice little bargain finds. And they certainly got a good one in Jonathan Drouin. So he's been a big surprise this season. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for episode 206, boys. Again, surprises from this season, Minnesota Wild, Pittsburgh Penguins, and Jonathan Drouin of the Colorado Avalanche. So there you go. That's episode 206 in the books. Thanks so much as always, and we will chat with you again next week. Take care.
This has been another episode of Boys in the Booth with Harper Cody, Chad Melbourne, and Casey Abrams. Connect with the Boys in the Booth on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Boys in the Booth. Visit boysinthebooth.com for show details. And don't forget, you can become a patron of the podcast for just $1 a month at patreon.com/boysinthebooth.